Thank you, Pastor, for letting me come, be a part of the meeting. Thank you for allowing me the privilege of being here. Appreciate Brother Snyder and Miss Marcia and their friendship, Brother T.D., Miss Joy, the diplomats, Brother Jim, all the diplomats. I love you, Annette, and I do appreciate you and your ministry. James chapter 1, let's get right to it tonight. God's been in this place. He's still here.
Yes.
Let's just continue right in the same gear, all right? Somebody said, Brother Dave, does it make you nervous when things get out of bounds? I get nervous when it don't.
Amen.
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 You see, once you've been in the fire, you can't survive in the smoke.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
So let's just pray God's fire fall again during the preaching of the Word of God. I want to start reading in verse number 12, read down through verse 18, kind of take a thought from verse number 17. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
Here's what the Bible said, James 1, verse number 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. When he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now note verse number 16. Verse number 16 is sort of a bridge between verses 12 through 15 and verse 17 and 18. And here's what James says. Do not err,
right,
my beloved brethren.
Yes.
Verse 17. Every good and every perfect gift, every good gift, never perfect gift is from above.
Amen.
And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures.
Yeah.
I want to preach a moment or two tonight around this thought. God has been good to me.
Amen.
Yeah. Can I say it again? I just like to say it. God has been good to me.
Amen.
Amen. Can you say that tonight? God has been good to me. Everybody say it one time. God has been good to me. And that's what James is going to teach us in these verses tonight. He's going to remind us that God has been good to us. Now I want to say, first of all, you'll notice verse number 12 through 15. James talks about some realities that we all are going to encounter. James is going to talk about trials, and he's going to talk about temptation. Now, maybe you've been watching TV preachers, and you've heard some of them tell you tonight that once you get saved, you don't face any more trials, you won't have any more trouble with temptation. That may sound good, but the fact is it's not true.
That's right.
The fact is, being a Christian does not exempt us from trials, nor does it exempt us from facing temptation. But I want to tell you tonight, even though we may face trials, even though we may face temptation, the fact is tonight that God has been good to me.
Amen.
God has been good to me. In verse number 12, James says this: when you are facing trials, don't let them discourage you. Don't let them discourage you. Now in verse number 12, he uses the word temptation, but the word literally means this, one who is tried. And what James is saying is this, that God will allow trials to come in our life that will try our faith. In verse number 2, he said, expect them, they're going to come. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Do you read that? Count it all joy. James says, count it joy that God is at work in your life to do something in your life that is going to make you more like Christ, that is going to make you closer to the Lord, that is going to bring you somewhere that you could never go had it not been for that trial. James says, count it all joy when you fall into many colored, various colored trials. James says, expect them. You say, now, Brother Dave, that's not too encouraging. Well, the fact is tonight, even in the midst of our trials, God's still been good to us. Amen. So don't let that discourage you. When you go through the various trials of life, don't let that discourage you. You expect them, and verse number 12 says, you endure them. That word means to stand firm. It means to abide. It means to stay faithful. Right. Don't allow your trials to distance you from the Lord, what James is saying. And you know, oftentimes, when we're going through diverse trials in our life as a Christian, the enemy will try to convince us that God's not good to us. And the enemy will try to convince us that God's not sovereign. He's not in charge. He's not in control. Did you know he's a liar? He is a liar. The enemy is a liar. God is good to us. And God is sovereign. He is in charge. He is in control. Let me say it one more time. Even in the midst of my trials, God's still being good to me. Still being good to me. When I'm going through trials, I'm not going to get discouraged because God's been good to me. When I'm facing temptation, verses 13 through 15, I'm not going to let temptation defeat me. That's what James is saying. Don't let temptation defeat you. Don't let trials discourage you. And don't ever think that when you are tempted to sin, you are tempted to evil, that it's God that is tempting you to sin or to do evil. James says, get this straight now. God don't tempt no man to do evil. Amen. When we are facing trials and temptation, which are a reality in our lives, God's still been good to us. And here's the bridge right here. Then he says in verse 60, do not err, my beloved brethren. That word error is interesting. It means this. Don't be misled. Don't be deceived. Don't go astray. Make no mistake about it. God has been good to you. The thought there in verse 16, Pastor, is of a ship that gets off course. And you know, when a ship gets off its course, it is headed toward danger. And James is saying, don't get off course. Don't ever think just because you're going through a trial, don't ever think because you're facing some kind of temptation in your life from the devil, don't ever let that cause you to think that God has not been good to you.
Amen.
Don't do it. I've been pastoring Baptists since 1982. That's a long time to pastor Baptist. Amen. And I've seen many of them in the midst of trial, in the midst of facing temptation, get off course and forget the fact that God has been good to them. There's some of you here tonight saying, Brother Dave, but you don't know the trial that I'm going through in my life tonight, preacher. You just don't know how bad it is. I may not, but I know this. If you're saved by the grace of God, God has been good to you. You say, Pastor, you don't know what I'm facing. How I'm being tempted of the devil. You just don't know how bad it is around my place. But I want to tell you tonight, if you are saved by the grace of God, if God saved your wretched soul, if God saved your hell-bound soul, if God wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life and forgive you of your sins and set you on the road to glory tonight, God has been good to you. Are you listening? God's been good to you. Don't get off course, James says. Don't get misled. Make no mistake. Don't go astray. Don't be deceived. It's posters, say Brother Snyder, that in verse 16, James is either saying to his readers who he wrote this letter to, and you know who he wrote it to, the 12 tribes which were scattered abroad. And they were scattered abroad because of persecution. And James is either saying to them, stop getting off course, or don't even think about getting off course. In other words, if some of you tonight have got off course, James is saying to you, stop, get back on course.
That's right.
If you've not got off course, James is saying to you tonight, don't dare get off course. You stay on course. Even in the midst of your trials, even in the midst of your temptation, God has still been good to you. The realities that we encounter, there's a resolve we examine, but notice this. In verse 16 or verse 17 and 18, there is the reminder that we embrace. Every good gift, every perfect gift. Do you get that word, every?
Yes, sir.
Not some of God's gifts.
Come on.
Not a few of God's gifts. But James says, every gift that God gives is good. Every gift that God gives is perfect. You say, how can that be, preacher? Because they come from a God that's good. Are you hearing me? I have to get down there and preach, aren't I? Amen. Saturday, we were moving my daughter. Her and her husband bought a new house. They live down in Birmingham. They bought a house down in Bessemer. So Annette and I went down to help them move. My only job, Brother Jim, my only job was to watch the movers as they loaded the truck and make sure they handled the furniture and stuff with care. That's my only job. When we got down there, Brother Corey, I mean we just got down there, I walked in the front door. And I got to looking around the movers and what they were doing. And I forgot that there was a landing and there was a step down into the living room. And I took that step, not remembering it went down, and Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And it did take all the king's horses and all the king's men to put old Humpty back on his feet again. Amen. So I'm a little tired tonight. I got a need tonight that's a little hurt. Hard to get around. I may have to get down there and preach a little bit if you don't get with me now. I said every gift.
Come on, preacher.
Every gift that God gives is good. Every gift that God gives is perfect. What's that mean, Brother Dave? Why did the Holy Ghost say it twice like that? I'll tell you why. Because he said what God gives is good, and the way God gives is good. God's just a good giver. He's a good God. And God's been good to me. To me. Yeah. Have you ever been a recipient of the gift given of God?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Amen. Are they good?
Yes.
Are they perfect?
Yes,
sure they are. Sure they are. There's no defilement, no defect. They're pure, they're precious, they're perfect. They cannot be better. They cannot be improved upon. James says, I want you to know that God's a good gift giver, and every gift you've ever got from God was good, and God's being good to you tonight. No matter where you are on the journey, God's been good to you. Amen. Have you ever got a gift from someone to be in all honesty that you just soon they'd kept it? Amen. You're going to learn one thing. I'm going to tell the truth. I'm not going to lie, preacher. Amen. We had a senior adult Christmas banquet at our church. We had about 80 seniors there. Nett and I was there. She'd probably crawl in the pew, me telling this one. So they'd bought about 100 gifts, had them on the table up there. And the lady over the gift giving, we drew numbers and went that, you know, number one goes first and all this stuff. You know how that works. So she kind of cheated a little bit when she come by where I was, Brother Jim. She said, get this one, preacher. And it was number one. So I got to go first. Out of 100 gifts, Brother Corey, on that table, Brother Rich, I walk up there and pick one. I open it up, and it was a one step pregnancy test. That's the truth. That is the truth. And you had to turn around and show it. You say, what'd you do, preacher? I turned around and showed it. That's one gift I got I wished I'd never got. But I want to tell you tonight, I've never got a gift from God that was not a good gift. I've never got a gift from God that was not a perfect gift. Every gift that God gives is good. Every gift that God gives is perfect. I'm telling you, God's being good to me. Amen. And don't forget it. God's being good to me. Every good gift, never perfect gift, cometh down. What's good words? Cometh down. You know that is a present participle. Here's what it means. They just keep coming down, Brother T.D. I mean, they just keep coming down. I mean, every day, God's good gifts and God's perfect gifts just keep coming down. You say, Brother Dave, you deserve them. Oh, no, I don't deserve them, but he's a good God. He's a loving God. He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. He just keeps on sending them. And sending them, and sending them, and they just keep on coming down. And I want to tell you, God's being good to me. Good to me. They just keep on coming down. Amen. Continually, they just keep on coming down because he's faithful. He's faithful. He knows what the Bible said. They cometh down from the Father of lights. Means the creator of the sun and moon and the stars. You see, creation may change, but the creator will never change.
That's right.
And the Bible said, with whom is no variableness. That means there'll never be any variation in God's giving.
Yeah, that's right.
He won't change. He won't wake up one day and change. I mean, he's still going to send them down. They're still going to be good. They're still going to be perfect. And this time next year, if Jesus hadn't come and I get to come back, I can still shout it, God's being good to me. Amen. Amen. No shadow of turning. That's the warm-up. Let me preach right here. Out of all the gifts that God's ever given us, the greatest gift that we've ever been given is the gift of salvation.
Amen.
Salvation. And he talks about that in verse 18. He says three things about it. He talks about God's will, God's word, and God's work. Notice it. Of his own will begot he us. What's that mean, preacher? Well, that word willed means having willed it. Having made his decision. Did you know Peter tells us, 1 Peter chapter 1, starting verse 18. Peter said, I want to remind you that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, received from the vain traditions of your fathers. But you were redeemed with the precious blood of the Lamb, without spot and without blemish. Here it is, verse number 20. Who was verily for ordained before the foundation of the world, that he might become the substitute for sinners, just like you and I. But Peter said, but was manifest in these last times for you. Let me tell you, neighbor, in eternity past, before man was ever created, before the foundation of this world was ever put in its place, God the Father called a council meeting in heaven with God the Holy Ghost and God the Son. And he looked over at God the Son and said, Son, I want you to go down to earth and down the cross and shed your blood to pay redemption's price for humanity. I'm going to make it. I'm going to will it. So whosoever will come unto me can be saved. Jesus said, I'll go. I'll go. I'll go. Amen. God made the decision. He willed that salvation would be made available to whosoever will.
Hallelujah.
Let him come. And I didn't come to preach doctrine, but I'm not afraid to. That shoots Calvinist, shoots them right in the lips.
Sir. Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, the cross provided redemption for the world. If they would have come to Christ, everybody that ever breathed air could have been saved. And men go to hell tonight because they reject the gospel of the Lord Jesus, and not because they're not one of the chosen. You listening to me tonight, I'm telling you, when God willed salvation, he made it available to whosoever will. Let them come and take of the water of life freely. I'm glad it's that way. Thank God he willed our salvation. Amen. Of his own will, he begot us. That means he birthed it. The thought is there, Brother Snyder, of a lady being pregnant and giving birth to a child. He birthed us. He begot us. We got born again. We had a new birth because of the will of the Lord. That's what that's saying. Amen. Now, you say, Brother, I'm saying God's been good to me. I'm telling you, God's been good to me. He willed my salvation and made it possible I could be saved. Amen. Of his own will, he begot us with the word of truth. I want you to go back tonight a moment and think about your salvation experience. Somewhere in that salvation experience, you're going to find the Word of God. You're going to find the Word of God. The truth of God's Word. You're going to find the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to tell you, in that book there, there's life in them words.
That's right.
There's so much life in them words that the dead can be made alive.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
In that book, there's life in them words, Brother Don.
Yes, sir.
We were begot by his will, by the word of truth. Sunday night after church, late, about 11:30, our telephone rang it down at the house and answered it. One of our men, he said, Brother Dave, he said, my daughter-in-law's under conviction. Says she's crying. She's under conviction. She don't want to die lost. Can we come? I said, yeah, come on. Come on down here. Right now. About 12:05. What's in the stillness of the late midnight hour? Amen. Men, Miss Annette took the word of truth, and we spoke that word to her. And Brother Justin, that young lady got on her face before God and got gloriously born again.
Amen.
I didn't read to her out the Sears and Roebuck catalog. We didn't quote her Reader's Digest. We didn't tell her what Oprah Winfrey says or Dr. Phil. We opened up the Word of Truth and gave her the Bible, the Word of God, the words of life that can birth a soul into the family of God. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Somewhere in our salvation experience, we'll find that book, Jim. That word. Of his own will, he begot us with the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. First fruits. That takes us back to the Old Testament economy, to the offering of first fruits. God had given Israel the land. God had blessed them, sent rain, sunshine. So he told them, when you bring the first of the harvest, you bring it to the temple and you offer it to me as first fruits. That's what they did.
Yes, sir.
When the harvest was ready, the very first picking of the harvest, the first fruits, they'd bring it to the temple and offer it to God. And the priest would take that grain offering, that wheat, whatever it was, and he'd wave it before the Lord. And the offering of first fruits, thanking God for the fruit, for the harvest, and how God had blessed their land and blessed the seed. He'd just wave that thing before the Lord. But he'd done something else. He not only thanked God for the first fruits, but he would thank God that there was more to come. More to come. Are you hearing me? The Bible says in the New Testament, brother, that when he saved us, he indwelt us with the Holy Spirit. And the Word of God calls the Holy Spirit the first fruits of promise.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Amen. What's that mean? It means it's God's pledge. It's God's promise. That this isn't all there is.
Yes. Amen.
That more is coming. You ain't got that. When I proposed to Miss Annette on a Saturday night, we didn't date on Saturday nights. I was already pastoring. And Saturdays was study day. And she knew we didn't date on Saturday nights. But this Saturday night, we did. And she knew something was up. I took her to the Chattanooga Choo Choo.
Yeah.
Amen. That's pretty good for a redneck Alabama boy, I can tell you what. Amen. We went to the Chattanooga Choo Choo. Went in there and I looked at her and I said, honey, order anything on the menu you want. She did. So it come time for dessert. And the waitress come out and said, what would y'all like? I said, what you got? She began to name, we got chocolate pie, we got coconut pie, we got this. She said, we've got peanut butter pie. That when she said peanut butter, I want to tell you, bombs went off in me. I said, I want peanut butter pie. Annette said, I don't think I've ever eaten any. I'd like a piece of peanut butter pie also. I said, bring us two pieces. Wasn't 5 minutes, Brother Jim, that she is back out the table. And she said, I'm so sorry to tell you, But we just have one piece of peanut butter pie left. I want to tell you, Brother David was in the valley of decision. Can I go home with you? I was caught between two opinions. Do I want a wife? Or do I want a piece of peanut butter pie? I guess you can see what I chose. I said, bring it to her. Bring me chocolate. I'm still bitter about that to this day. But I got the best end of the deal. But here's what I'm getting to. I just had to tell that. I just enjoy telling you. I took her out in the garden. And I got down on my knee. And I took a ring out of my pocket. And I put it on her finger. And I said, Annette, you marry me? And she said, yes. And that ring that I put on her finger was a promise, was a pledge.
Yes.
That I was going to marry her and make her my wife, and that we were going to enjoy much more.
Yeah. Amen.
When the Lord saved us, preacher. He put the Holy Ghost in our
right.
Hearts.
That's right.
And every time you feel the moving of the Holy Ghost in there, Brother Allen, that's God saying there's more to come.
Amen.
This ain't all
yeah.
there is to it, boy.
Amen.
That's just my pledge. That's just my promise. That's just the first fruits of my spirit that I placed within you. I'm telling you, if you think this is something, you just hang around because it's going to get a lot better than this. I'm going to tell you, if I'm shouting tonight that God's been good to me, what's it going to be when we walk through the gates of glory and see Him face to face and enjoy all the beauties of glory? We'll shout for a million years, God's been good to me. Amen. And if you're saved tonight, you've got a right to praise Him.
Amen.
Shout it out.
Yes.
That God's been good to you.
Amen.
Though you may be battling hell by the acres, God's still been good to you. Though you may be going through trials and temptation, God's still been good to you. Can I tell you one more thing? I'm close. I was preaching last week in meeting down in Fultondale, Alabama. On Thursday night, I preached out of Joshua 6 on the way the walls fell. Preached on what real faith looks like. Father preached on. And after I got done preaching, the pastor got up, Brother Justin.
He said,
church. He said, we got some walls in this church that God needs to bring down. He said, you've got some walls in your life probably that needs brought down. Maybe some Jerichos in your life that you need God to bring down. He said, I'm gonna march around this church. While I'm marching, I'm going to pray that God would start bringing down walls.
Amen.
In this church and in the lives of us as His people. So he started marching. And that whole church fell out behind him, Brother Jim. And they started marching. March around that church. Annette said, when I got home and started back, she said, what'd you do? I said, I fell in there with them and took them out. Amen. I'm not going to sit there like a Pharisee. I just fell in there with them and took a lap. Well, I noticed, Brother Corey, this dear old saint of God, an older woman, she's been over, and she could just barely get one foot in front of her. Boy, she's annoying. Then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God come through that room. And it fell on that dear sister. She got to shouting, praising God. And I want to tell you, she got to picking them up and putting them down better than I could, Brother T.D. And you know what? She just come to the realization that God's being good to me. Every mile, every day, every problem, every trial, God's still being good to me. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever let the devil tell you anything different. Don't lose your shout. Don't lose your joy. Don't lose your praise. You say, Brother Dave, but what can I praise him for? Because he saved your dying soul. Ought to be enough to cause us to shout for another million years. Amen. That you don't have to go to hell. That he's going to heaven. That he loves you enough to bring you into his family and save you. Ought to cause you to want to get off your seat, on your feet, and give him glory in this place tonight. Amen. God's been good to me. Let's pray. Father, woe me, how good you've been to me. Thank you, Lord, for every blessing, every gift. Every time you've sent it down, it's been good. And I praise you for it. Lord, there may be somebody here tonight that's lost. Oh, Holy Ghost, help them to know that you'll save them if they'll come to you. Dear God, you'll save them. Help them. Maybe somebody tonight just needs to come and get around this altar and bow their heads and say, Lord, thank you for being so good to me. Even in my trial, I'm thanking you tonight because you've been good to me. Even in my time of trouble, I'm thanking you, Lord, because you've been good to me. Forgive me forever allowing the enemy to silence my praise. Forgive me, Lord, forever allowing the devil to cause me to question your goodness and graciousness in my life. Lord, you've been good to me. Maybe that's what they need to do tonight. I don't know, Lord, but they do. Now, Holy Ghost of God, just do what needs to be done in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As we stand, Pastor, you take...